In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the podcast of the Lotus Eaters for Friday, the 19th of May, 2023. I'm joined by Right Said Fred. Thanks for joining me.
Hello. Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
That's right. Nice to be here.
Brilliant to have you back, honestly.
Yes, it's very nice.
Yeah, and catch up on all our favourite conspiracies behind the scenes that we're not going to be talking about on the podcast because, of course, we'll get in trouble for it.
Yeah.
So we're today going to be talking about how the Conservative Party is going even further left than it already is.
Right. Yeah.
How anarcho-tyranny is coming to a suburb near you, and why the left-wing, the Transgender Shooters Manifesto in America hasn't been released, which is a very strange state of affairs, because usually you get those manifestos like the same day.
Yes, you do.
So it's a very peculiar thing. But before we begin, we have a Rumble-exclusive live stream that we'd like you to join us for. The phrase, "we were never asked," is provocative, but it's also very powerful. And we're going to explore the philosophy behind why it's powerful, how it ties into, say, liberal views on consent, in fact, which is honestly what really underpins most people's objections to immigration.
Yeah.
It really does. And we're going to look at the current state of Britain as it labours under immigration and is getting worse. So that's going to be a fascinating stream.
It will be.
That's Bo and I. That's unfortunately not with the Freds.
No.
But that'll be a fascinating thing. Please do tune in. Anyway, right. Let's talk about the Conservative Party now.
Is there such a thing?
No. No, there's not.
not anymore.
And this is what the National Conservative Conference showed us, actually. The Conservative Party clearly has been captured by liberalism.
Yeah.
They're open about this. And the actual Conservatives who are saying, look, maybe we shouldn't be perverting children. Maybe we should be promoting family values. Maybe we should have a secure nation state and the borders. You know, all of these things that we just took for granted when we were young, we just didn't even question it. Of course you should have all these things. Well, these are now... you know, fringe conservative beliefs. And then, because the thing about the National Conservative Conference to me is that should be the Conservative Party Conference.
I was going to ask, why is it called the National?
Because they're a movement with inside the Conservative Party of dispossessed conservatives who have been like essentially sidelined by the liberal conservatives like Rishi Sunak and Matt Hancock.
I don't know what I don't even know what Matt Hancock is. Is he even human?
Well, actually, you know what? It's interesting you say that because we are going to cover that exact topic on this podcast.
Okay,
because is Matt Hancock a human?
I look at him and I just think, I don't even know what you are, mate.
Well, I totally agree.
What species is that?
I totally agree.
He was very lucky to get laid. That's all I can say.
I honestly think it must have been paid for by the Chinese. I honestly think it's,
exactly.
He strikes me as the kind of guy who has never got any attention from women, and therefore, if a Chinese paid spy comes over, and he can't use any critical thinking on it, and then he gets caught, doesn't he?
Have you seen that interview with him where he says, "Oh, let's move on"? Basically, he's saying,
"Yeah, well, we'll get to it. Yeah, okay, we're going to go for it because it's just sorry, you're just you're getting ahead because it really is like crazy." Now, I used to be a liberal, say 5-6 years ago, and then I started looking deeply into the philosophical roots of liberalism, and it definitely had justification at the time, but. As you can go to lotuses.com and see, I wrote a bunch of articles about this because it's rooted in assumptions about the world and human nature that just aren't really true.
Yeah.
You know, we've never been an individual species wandering around the woods in total freedom. That's never been the case. No. We've always been communal. We've always lived together.
Yeah.
And that's really why I've become a conservative, because that's the conservative perspective on what the human animal is. You know,
right.
It's like, look, we live together and we want freedom and property and, you know, we want, you know, fair governance and all this sort of stuff. But we don't need to be ideological about that. You know, we can just say we feel that these are the right things to do because they are the right things to do.
Okay.
You know, and we don't want the government tyrannizing us, but conversely, we don't want like people being left alone forever and never being, you know, we want people to be brought into society, you know, and feel like they belong, right? Yeah. And so it's this is why I'm like, because being a liberal is actually a very strict ideological place to go to that's not conservative and actually has its own set of like remote diktats. And so if you can go to the next one, John, I wrote a couple of articles about just the wrong assumptions that liberalism is based on. But also I did a debate with Stelios on this, which I think I won very handily, saying, look, you know, it's not that liberalism wasn't good, and it's not that there's nothing salvageable in it, obviously. You know, there are certain values that liberalism adheres to that obviously any normal person will adhere to, you know? But the commitments that come with it are too heavy. And so we can take those values into a conservative framework and say, of course we want to conserve our personal liberty, of course we want, you know, but we don't have to be committed to all of the other things
okay.
that come with it, which is like the total freedom of the person, is in freedom to be against your own body, you know, is, oh, I'm a transgender now. It's like, you're not born in the wrong body. You know, your body's your body and you have to come to terms with it.
Yeah.
Know? Things like that. And so this is why, and the reason I'm bringing this up, right, is because there is a very strong liberal movement in the Conservative Party, and it's not conservative.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And an example of this is Bright Blue. Bright Blue is an independent think tank and pressure group for liberal conservatism.
Uh-huh.
Now, liberal okay. conservatism is a contradiction.
Mm.
You are a liberal or you are a conservative.
Yeah.
It's not there's no crossover, but it goes in different directions, right? And they had Matt Hancock on. Matt Hancock, if you go to the next one, everyone's favorite absolute goon. This is the sort of thing he stood up and said to this group. He says, those of us who believe in a liberal conservative agenda, don't know what that means, have got to stand up to the conservative Corbynistas. Instead of concentrating on the politics of progress of the people who preach the sort of cancel culture that they abhor from the left. Well, who's he talking about?
I have no idea.
Exactly. No what idea. Constituency is that?
That's just a word salad, isn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it's word salad. Yeah, yeah. It's gobbledygook. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he went on to say, we should have a decent policy debate about the things that unite us across the Conservative Party. Positive, forward-looking agendas is what the Conservatives... Yeah, exactly right. Oh. just kill me now.
It's exhausting, isn't it?
Positive, forward-looking agenda is what the Conservative Party can offer. Be brave, my liberal conservative friends. Get out there, make the argument, stand up to the reactionaries, wherever we find them. At the National Conservative Conference, Michael Gove was on stage and he was asked, are there any people in the Conservative Party you think should be in the Liberal Democrats? And he said, no, not at all. It's like...
yeah, there's one.
This is a Liberal Democrat. Like, and you know, if you're a Liberal Democrat, that's fine, but you're not a conservative,
no.
You shouldn't be in the Conservative Party. You know? He carries on, right? Matt Hancock tells Rishi Sunak to kill the culture war strategy and support socially liberal values that most people under 50 support. And he says the only way for the party to survive is to do this or else it'll die. Oh, no, not the Conservative Party. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, that would be awful.
I think it's good. Dead already.
Yeah, exactly. Are you not looking at your polling numbers?
Exactly.
But also, what culture war strategy? Rishi Sunak is as wet as they come.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not
yeah,
like
exactly.
he's Nigel Farage out there banging
no,
the table.
No, no, you know, no. Well, it's interesting with Nigel Farage because he's just about one of the most, probably one of the most powerful political figures in the UK without any kind of home to go to.
That's true,
actually.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've met Nigel on quite a few occasions. And what I personally like about him is he likes kicking up the dust.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's what I like.
He's got fire in his belly.
Yeah, he has.
He does,
and
yeah.
I think kicking up the dust is exactly what we need.
Well,
which is what Trump did. He actually kicked up the dust, and now we see what happens.
You know, on that subject, what do you think Matt Hancock thinks of that? he probably hates that, right?
Yes, I think
so. What does he mean, like, the culture war? What culture war is he referring to? Is he talking about immigration? Is he talking about trans, you know, yep. the trans movement? What
free speech? Who
free
knows?
Speech?
You know, just no culture war though. You know, because he thinks he's.
I'm not in a culture war.
No, well, I am, but that's only because they make us.
Yes, yeah.
You know,
right, okay.
You know, otherwise I'd have lived and let live.
Yes,
right. But no, this is exactly. If you go to the next one. The thought that we can import some sort of Trumpian Republican American politics is completely wrong. Brits do not wear divisive American politics. It would end the Conservative Party as an electoral force. Now, isn't that kind of saying that Nigel Farage could destroy the Conservative Party?
Trumpian Republican American.
Trumpian Republican. Okay.
I mean, I love Trump. So.
Yeah, well,
you know. I prefer Trump to Hancock, that's for sure.
Exactly. Well, absolutely, exactly. I mean, it's. I'm at the moment, I've just started reading it. It's the Strange Death of Europe by Douglas Murray.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And what I think is interesting about that, and I've just touched the surface about it, is it's to do with the self confidence of Europe and this country, and the self if there's no self confidence being sold from the top, if there's nothing but apology and a kind of a sort of shifting in the seat, embarrassment about
cringing,
as opposed to, you know, as opposed to, I mean, I hate to mention Margaret Thatcher, but whatever you thought of her, there was never any doubt that what side she was on. And I remember very distinctly when they launched the new BA colours on the rear wing of the plane, and it was sort of it's just sort of abstract patterns, and she threw a serviette over it until they painted it with a Union Jack.
Yes.
Now, you can argue that. Good or bad, I don't care. But at least you knew what her position was. My problem with Sunak and Starmer is that I think they have allegiances beyond the British people.
Well, can I quote Keir Starmer there? When he was asked, "Do you prefer Westminster or Davos?"
Oh, don't.
He didn't say Westminster, folks.
No, exactly.
Yeah. He basically pledged allegiance to Davos. Yeah. And it was just like, okay.
Yeah, your business, the people that put you there, I feel really strongly about this, that I think the British people are getting so shortchanged by the level of politics and politicians in this country. And when Starmer says that, that tells you exactly what he is. He doesn't care about the British people. He doesn't care about anything but the agenda that he himself is following. That's what I was saying to you earlier. Which is he doesn't care if he loses the election. I think he actually wants to lose the election because he knows that Starmer's a Remainer, he's a Remainer, and within 10 years we'll be back in the EU.
It's exactly the same agenda, isn't it?
It's exactly the same agenda.
Yeah. And the only difference that I can see between Starmer and Sunak is that Sunak is prepared to say that 100% of women have no penises, and Starmer's just like, no, it's 99.99% of women. Is that right? So there's 0.01% of, like, that's the crack of light between them,
exactly.
Is it?
Yeah, I know.
Bloody hell.
It is. Well, it's like the New Zealand, the new replacement for Jacinda Ardern. Yeah. When he was out, I can't remember his name now, funny little bloke, looks like a librarian. Can't remember his name.
I know the guy you're talking
about. Yeah. And when he was asked what a woman is, it was like saying, can you please describe to me a Martian? He had no reference points at all.
You're absolutely right. And it was the same with Jo Swinson, the Liberal Democrat leader who had to resign after her catastrophic defeat at 2019. She was asked this on like LBC or something, and it was like a 20-minute meltdown where she just like dissolved, and it was like, what's wrong with you?
Am I wrong in thinking she had a great pair of boobs?
I think that I'm not allowed to comment on that.
I can't remember that.
I seem to remember she had a good rack. That's all I remember, yeah.
Well, she should be Prime Minister.
She should be Prime Minister.
Absolutely. And that's how we're going to get Penny Mord. So anyway, moving on.
People
are complaining about house prices, such as the very popular London mayor, Sadiq Khan. And Sadiq Khan would like house price fixing. Right. Now, price fixing, as any economist will tell you, doesn't work.
No.
Because supply and demand is essentially an immutable law of economics, and you can't just legislate against it. So instead of saying, well, London is a certain amount of the country, and places in London can't actually grow. There's no room for them to grow. And so there has to be something done to the demand side of the equation, because the supply side of the equation is actually rather squeezed.
Limited, like Gibraltar. Right?
He doesn't bring that up. For some reason.
Yeah, he's exactly failed on all his housing policies, hasn't he?
Of course he has. Yeah. But the thing is, if it helps, there's kind of no way to fix the housing crisis. Right?
No.
Like the only alternative would be literally to brick over every square inch of England in order to house millions of people from overseas for some reason, which will give us economic growth, even though it's clearly not happening. I mean, we've literally had millions in, and look at our economy. You know?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
So this clearly is not a winning strategy. But he's not wrong, though, to say that, look, you know, majority of young people can't save their way to the deposit. No, they can't. Of course they can't. But why don't you speak about the problem, which is the sheer demand from the inflow of people that the Labour government in the early 2000s and now the Conservative for the last 30 years have been allowing to just increase year on year? I mean, you know, 500,000 net last year, a million total.
Yeah.
And, of course, as we'll talk about later, they're expecting a million in this year. It's like a million net this year. It's like...
My feeling is I think this is intentional. I don't believe that this is. I also think that Sadiq Khan is a liar. He's either a liar or a reformist. He's one of the two. You can't be a fundamental Muslim and walk in front of the gay pride march. You can't do that.
I would say so.
You can't do
I'm
that.
I'm not a Muslim.
No, but you know what I mean? It's one or the other. Yeah. You either are a reformist, like Majid Nawaz, or you are a fundamentalist.
Yeah.
And he needs to come clean, I think.
I think it's obvious that he's a progressive.
Yeah.
You know, he's not really a Muslim. He is a progressive.
Yeah. For me, do you know, sometimes it's the detail, that the small stuff that counts. When I saw the Christmas tree, I knew that he didn't care about London.
Oh,
he doesn't care about London.
What was it about the Christmas tree?
It was ragged. It was an embarrassment.
It was about 2 or 3 years
it
ago.
It was exactly the kind of Christmas tree you would have if you didn't give a hoot about Christianity.
Tree you give to your neighbours you don't like.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And that tells you everything. Tells you everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the small stuff that counts. Excuse me.
So anyway, going back to Bright Blue, they've got a liberal vision for the housing policy, which is just build more houses. That's it.
Right.
Build hundreds of thousands of houses across Britain.
Okay.
Like to house the third world that we're bringing in.
Right. Oh, I see.
And it's like, well, okay, but...
But they can't afford the houses.
We'll be paying for them.
Oh, we'll be paying.
So we're going to be...
like the hotel room.
These will be government-built houses.
Right.
And they complain that we're struggling to even build 200,000 houses a year. It's like, God, that's a lot of houses.
Mm. That is a lot.
And they want over 300,000 a year.
Right.
And they say the result is that millions of people are stuck paying eye-watering rents. And that's true. Because,
yes,
of course, as the supply fails to keep up with the demand, the money, the amount they have to pay for the product goes up.
Yeah.
Right. And so if you get to the next one, Rishi Sunak recently came out and said, well, we're going to block building new houses. Now, don't get me wrong. He is right. It's what people want. People don't want every square inch of England concreted over for massive tenements to hold people from overseas. That is true. But if you go to the next one, he's also walked back, what a surprise, any pledge to reduce net immigration.
Right.
Okay.
Are they trying to throw him off the plane there?
Oh, if only. excuse Mr. Sunak, we're literally going to have to
throw you off the plane.
He does look a little bit concerned.
Yes, he does, yeah.
But this then puts us in an impossible position now. Okay, so if you're not going to build houses, but you are going to bring millions of people in, then the house prices are going to go up. Housing will be just squeezed, so you'll have people in, at the very least, incredibly suboptimal housing arrangements, if not increase of the homeless people, and that'll probably end up increasing crime and truancy and all the delinquency and all this sort of stuff. This is a recipe for just massive social unrest and destruction of the life plan of young people.
It's what
what's
they
being
want,
destroyed.
Exactly what they want.
Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
It is exactly what they want.
Like, it is literally, you are going to own nothing.
Yeah.
Yes. We'll talk about the happy part afterwards.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
But you are going to own nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're a young person looking at this, like, okay, what's your future? Are you going to get 150 grand together to buy a house? You know?
My daughter's a doctor.
Yeah.
And she's got £54,000 to pay back. Because after her six years, you know. And... her and her fiance trying to get on the housing market.
Good luck.
Is bloody difficult.
And that's in Wales.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's very, very difficult.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, the trouble is with mass immigration or uncontrolled immigration, what it doesn't address is the needs of the immigrant as well.
Yeah.
Because they won't get the life they're hoping for if there's too many of them.
No.
Yeah.
It doesn't serve anybody. It doesn't serve the host nation, and it doesn't serve the newcomers.
Also,
it's a miserable idea.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, I have a real problem with people who blame the immigrants.
Yeah, it's
not their fault.
No,
it's
I would do the same.
The fault is in the House of Commons.
Yes,
that's
it is,
where the fault is.
Yeah.
It's in the border force, in the House of Commons, and the complete lack of spine.
Yeah, like this is the thing, because all of this, like Suella Braverman put forward 5 proposals to the government.
Yep.
She's the Home Secretary, so she's the person with the power.
Yep.
And Sunak blocked her proposals to reduce immigration. Because all this really comes down to is not approving visas.
Yeah, yeah.
I'd like to come and live in the UK. Sorry, not approved.
Yeah.
You know, no one gets hurt. No one's rights are violated.
Yeah.
It's a totally reasonable thing to do.
It is.
You could put up a little sign saying, sorry, we're not taking further applications.
Yeah.
That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
Like, there's no harm that comes from it. But for some reason, Sunak and the rest of them are just like, millions and millions. And in fact, if we go to the next one, you see they're expecting over 997,000 net this year.
Home office fears. I don't think they fear it at all.
No.
Well, exactly. They don't fear it, because if they fear
policy, surely.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm. They could just say, no, denied.
If you are thinking in terms, and as I believe, these people are thinking in terms of increased surveillance, facial recognition, and more control, then civil disturbance and civil stress is exactly what you want. You don't want a cohesive, intelligent, and well-educated workforce or people. You want them to be distracted by all sorts of internal strife of one kind or another. So the biggest mistake we make as a people is to trust the people we elect.
I don't know why anyone does that.
When we finally stop that.
I don't get it. Back in the day,
I disagreed with John Smith on Europe, say. But if you look at Peter, I disagreed with Peter Shaw on domestic policy. But they were honest, straightforward politicians.
Yeah.
And you got the feeling from them that they cared about British people. When was the last time you had a politician stand up and give you the feeling that they actually cared about what's happening to people in this country?
There's a part of me that thinks that Tony Blair played a great game here, because he had this kind of plastic exterior that was very shiny and sounded convincing.
Yeah.
But everything he did undermined this country.
Yeah.
Everything he did.
He's one of the most toxic people in public life in this country.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it was just there was a format that he presented that could fool the regular person who wasn't paying attention to politics into thinking, oh, this guy seems okay.
Yeah.
And it allowed underneath it all of the evil to come in with it. I'm certain it is at that sort of time where the politicians, essentially the global agenda, was allowed to come in under those auspices.
Yes, I think it was.
It may have been earlier. It may have been here for a lot longer.
Do you remember the Formula One thing? I'm a pretty decent regular. I'm a pretty regular kind of guy. Do you remember all that?
As if you are, mate. As if.
Really.
Yeah. Anyway, so just going back to Matt Hancock to finish this up. He was doing an interview the other day on this podcast.
Looking very casual.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's not in government now.
He's got the ex-boy band vibe going on.
But he claimed that when he stopped on the street, 9 out of 10 people who stop him think he's brilliant.
Oh, yeah, right. Of course
they do. I have real trouble believing this.
He's lying.
Yeah, he's lying.
He's been lying since the day. Yeah, absolutely.
Here we go. Quite a lot saying you don't deserve the amount of shit that you get. Yes, you do, mate.
Yes, you do.
In fact, you deserve an awful lot more. Times a thousand more.
Unfortunately... community standards prevent me from saying what I think Matt Hancock deserves. Moving on, though, he does assure us that he is, quote, a human being.
No, I don't believe that.
I don't believe that either.
Yeah, where's the proof of that?
Who's this?
Citation needed.
He's had a nice holiday on that money he got from I'm a Celebrity, isn't he?
Yeah, he was going to hand it all over. They'd only gave 10% or something.
Yes, he did. Yeah.
But it's just weird, because I just feel that real human beings don't actually need to say that.
No, they don't.
That's the sort of thing that an alien overlord is.
Exactly. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right about that. Yeah, exactly.
But what I thought was really disgusting, actually, and like, you know, I just genuinely hate Matt Hancock.
Yes.
Danny Kruger, Conservative MP, gave a speech at the National Conservatives conference, literally just saying the most common sense thing you've ever heard. The normative family, the mother and father sticking together for the sake of the children, is the only basis for a safe and functioning society.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Where's the controversy there?
I would have one small caveat with that.
Go on.
Because that smacks to me as a kind of anti-gay marriage thing.
So
I would have a problem with that.
The pushback on that would be that gay marriage can't obviously produce children.
No, it can't.
And so...
Well, hold on.
Well, sorry. Traditionally speaking.
Traditionally speaking, right? Okay.
And so he's not wrong that the generative basis of society has to be heterosexual.
I agree with that.
And again, you know, I'm not in any way against gay marriage, of course. You know, I'm very liberal on those perspectives. Yeah. You know, why would I want to, right?
There is this, sorry to cut through, but David Curtin uses those expressions.
He does.
Traditional family values. And the minute I hear that, my antenna goes up.
Yeah, me too.
I appreciate that. Like John Major.
Getting back to basics. You know?
I do appreciate that, because you know, I've got no desire to tell gay people they can't get married or something. But he is right that we do have to begin from the point that it's men and women getting married and having children.
Yes.
And staying together for the children.
Yeah, I agree.
That raises a good society.
Yes.
You know, obviously you can have... Yeah, exactly. But the main trunk of a civilization, right? And of course, you're going to have people on the fringes who don't quite fit into that, and that's fine. You know, we don't want to persecute them. No one wants anything like that.
Mm.
You know, they should be respected. But we have to accept the reality that a civilization continues on the great river of existence.
Well, I agree. And that's absolutely true.
Right. And so it's a totally uncontroversial statement.
Yeah.
Yes.
In my opinion.
Okay.
It's just obviously true and always has been.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to, you know, but getting into the weeds.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Matt Hancock called that offensive and wrong.
He's offensive and wrong.
Yeah, well, he is. Yeah, that's a great point. Matt Hancock is offensive and wrong. But look at his expression. I mean, he's struggling to comprehend what's happening.
Right? Yeah.
But he says, it's so offensive and wrong, a completely fringe view of the Conservative Party. Can we please stop talking about this? No.
Can we please stop talking about this?
It seems important.
It's important. Yes. It's absolutely important.
And if it's not important to the Conservative Party.
Yeah. Well, I think this is the long march through the institutions. That's what we're seeing.
Matt Hancock is now saying, look at the King and his family and what a good example they are, sort of thing. Well, they're not a very good example at all, are they?
But is Matt Hancock a good example?
No, he's not.
No.
Didn't he cheat on his wife?
Yeah.
Like, cheating his wife, got caught on some sort of camera.
Yeah.
And
he worked for George Osborne. I'll keep that quiet, mate, Barzy.
But it's just... But also, okay, Matt, let's say
what
that...
What a clown.
Let's say that Danny Kruger is wrong. Mm-hmm. What's your alternative?
Yes.
If it's not men and women having children and raising them in love.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Well, this harks back to the Jordan Peterson fear, where it's become not uncommon for some couples to swear they will never have children because they don't want to bring them into this awful world. And the average Muslim family celebrate having children. Yeah. It's what they make in a big family. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
Now, and we've talked ourselves into this weird place in the West where having children has become the problem.
Yes.
And we large families are frowned upon. Mm. It's kind of weird, I think.
But that can only lead to a collapse of our civilization.
Well, that's the whole slow suicide of Europe thing. Absolutely. Yeah. And Europe doesn't have any self-confidence. Mm. And in a way, I don't know whether I agree with it, but it does strike you that it's tired, that Europe's tired of saying what it is, tired of being proud, tired of being, you know, liberal and diverse. It's just worn out with it, you know.
No, you're absolutely right. I think you're right.
And I remember when we were in promoting in Japan, and we're in a hotel right above this major intersection, these roads, and as you saw all the Japanese people crossing, not one blonde hair. Not
why would there be?
Yeah, because the gene pool is solid.
Yeah, it's Japan.
It's Japan. Yeah, exactly.
Japan's a country full of Japanese people.
Yeah, I remember looking at it thinking, right, okay. Now, if that was a crossing in London.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
My sister spent a few years teaching English in South Korea, and she's a very progressive person.
Right.
You know, very, very progressive. And she came back and was like, yeah, they all do kind of look the same. You know, I was like, you're not allowed to say that.
No, exactly.
I'm not allowed to say that.
When we were had a couple of meetings in London yesterday, and we're sitting in a cafe, and you hear languages from all over the world. And I have no issue with that.
No, I love it.
And you see, there's this one Chinese girl, or a Japanese girl, I think, sorry, and she's dressed up as a punk, and there's two Muslim women in all the garb walking the other way. Yeah. And I think it's great. As long as everybody just leaves everybody else alone.
But
that's my issue with this.
I don't have a problem with it in microcosm, right? You know, if it were like there were a few districts of London that were incredibly multicultural, that'd be fine.
Yeah.
And it would actually be an interesting thing to go and visit.
Yeah.
But man, you should see the high street here. We're just a little English town.
Yeah, yes.
Right.
And now we are like one-fifth immigrant. This is the problem. Like I bump into friends in the street and they're like, mate, where am I?
Mm.
Yes.
They've lived in this town their whole lives. And they're like, it's exactly as you say, walking down this high street. It's languages from all over the world.
Mm.
People from all over the world. It's like, where have I gone?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
You know? And I've been here my whole life.
But previously, what I think is interesting is that people think that it's about numbers.
Well, it
is about numbers, obviously, when they're talking about millions. I agree. Yeah. But I think much more importantly, it's about tribe and it's about religion. That's what I think. If you had a bunch of people coming in who were happy to be here, celebrated the fact that it was liberal and diverse and open, blah, 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 practiced their religion, you go to church, you go to the mosque, you go to the synagogue, whatever, absolutely fine. But that's not what it is.
Yeah.
We have a whole big bunch of people now who, in the absence of establishing a caliphate in the Far East, are deciding to do it over here.
See, that's only one aspect of the problem, though, because, and I agree with you, obviously, on that. Obviously, because when they say, oh, we'd like the immigrants to integrate, historically, integration meant intermarriage.
Yes.
Right? You would come here and you would marry an English person.
That's true as well.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what my grandfather did. My grandfather was from St. Helena. He was a black man, came over to help with the war effort against the Nazis.
Yeah.
And he married an English woman. Right?
Oh, okay.
And so my dad's half, and therefore, that's how it goes. But that's the point. That's what integration is.
Yeah.
You know, it's where you marry into the society. Mm. But that's just not happening,
no.
Right? You'll see the couples are like, two Indians or two Chinese. And it's like, so now it's like the sort of ethnic enclaves that have got sharp borders. Mm. They don't cross their borders.
No.
And that's not good. But also, like you were saying, the Xin number, and if it was like 30,000 a year who came in and then intermarried, you wouldn't notice.
No.
You wouldn't notice. No one would talk about immigration because there would be no problem.
No.
And you would have, like, as you were saying, you'd have this interesting, you'd have small areas that would be interesting areas to go to.
Yeah.
That you'd be like, okay, that's no problem.
It's like Chinatown in London.
Exactly, right? Mm. And no one complained about it. But now it's like, Leicester, 30% English, 33% English. Luton, 33% English. So hang on, these are not English cities anymore.
No.
There's some sort of global cosmopolitan civilization that has inserted itself. And it's not from any one place.
No.
It's from all over the place,
Yeah, and there's also this weird attitude that comes from the left, which is that if you worry about your community disappearing...
Yeah.
You're a racist.
You're
a bigot and a racist.
Well, you can't discuss immigration without being called a racist.
No.
If you show any concern or you want a discussion on any level, you must therefore be a racist. If you want to raise that,
it's mental.
It is mental.
It has to be. Yeah. It has to be about services. That's my thing with immigration. The whole thing has to be if you can't guarantee. What Fred said earlier, you have to be able to guarantee not just local people the services they need. But you've got to give the immigrant population the hope and the opportunities that they deserve.
Yeah, which they're not going to get.
Which they're not going to get, nor a local community is going to get them either.
But I, like I said, I speak to my friends. I've lived here 25 years, but they've lived here their whole lives. Mm. My wife's been here their whole life. And they say to me, I just feel like this is just somewhere I've never been before. Mm.
Okay.
And so it's not for them about services. For them, it's about like love of the place in which they live.
No, I understand that. I know.
It's very Scrutonian.
I understand that. Yeah. My point is, though, that when politicians talk about immigration, they never talk about the services.
No, they don't.
But rarely. They polish their liberal credentials and their diversity credentials and all that. To me, the whole when I hear somebody rattling on pro-immigration, the first thing I think is, why aren't you rattling on about local people?
Yeah.
Why aren't you rattling on about the education, the schools, the services, the hospitals? Why isn't that your priority, particularly if you're an elected representative?
Mm.
That's what I don't get.
Mm.
And that, to me, is a really good example of the degree to which a lot of politicians are completely disconnected from the people they represent.
So also, without those local services, you're doing a disservice to immigrants who come in because they will fall between the cracks.
Yeah.
There won't be the infrastructure for them.
Yeah.
And we see
people becoming resentful against British society.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, yeah.
And we see them on TV all the time. For some reason, they're given. I'm
resentful against some British society. I was born here.
I agree, but we see this kind of just open antipathy to Britain as a concept. Right?
Yes,
the history of Britain and the existence of Britain.
I agree.
Dr. Scholar,
do you remember that guy was reported for having St. George's flag outside his flat?
Oh, that's happened a few times.
Yes, I had a place in Spain for years, and my wife lived there the whole time, and I commuted in and out. And the Catalan flag and the Spanish flag is common.
Yeah.
You see it on even most expensive apartments will hang it. And it's part of the almost part of the street furniture, if you like.
What's the national flag?
Yeah, and nobody ever questions if it's a racist thing or national. But over here, it's some sort of big deal. Do you remember
Emily Thornberry getting in trouble in 2013
with the van?
Yeah, with the van.
Yes,
yeah, and she's just like, look at this.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a bunch of English flags in England.
What's your problem?
What's your problem?
Exactly. I know.
Anyway, let's leave this sticky debate and go on to one of the consequences of having a diverse society, which is fine, if it's well managed, is that you get politicians who actually don't have to care about you, as we have established.
Yes, they don't care.
And in fact, they can use the diversity of society to tyrannise you, actually. And they do this by making sure that the rules apply to you, but not to a certain class of criminal lawbreaker who are treated with kid gloves. And we're going to look at some of these examples.
Okay.
Because this is, I mean, now, I shouldn't have to say this, but the laws should be applied to everyone without favour and without fear, exactly as they would be applied to anyone else.
Yep. Mm.
Not a controversial statement.
No.
That is now racism.
Yeah. Yes.
I don't agree. But anyway, this is a particular ethical position that I think is just widely held throughout the English-speaking world, I think, and beyond, obviously, by regular people. It's not held by the people who are in the criminal underclass, and it's not held by people who are above everyone else and a kind of criminal overclass. But unfortunately, these people seem to be getting together in some way, and realizing, well, we can squeeze the middle between us and put us in their crosshairs, which is not good for anyone, actually. Right. I don't think encouraging a criminal underclass to proliferate is good for the people at the bottom.
No.
And allowing the people at the top to get away with this is not good either. But before we go on, Stelios did a debate about Ayn Rand's ethics with Dr. Dan Norton on the website.
She's interesting, she is.
She's a very interesting figure, although I have to say I have strong disagreements.
So do I.
But she it,
and she can't write a book.
Well, I've never read any of her books.
Always hard work.
That's why I've avoided
Fountainhead.
It.
Fountainhead.
Yeah, yeah. I've read that. Yeah, it took me a long time.
Atlas Shrugs.
Yeah, I read People Who Are Devotees of Hers. Instead,
yes.
Right.
Because that was exactly the reason people are like, oh, God, it's a lot of work. I was like, I'll just read someone who supports her.
Fountainhead's a good book. It just took me forever to read it, but it's a good book.
But she does have some good points. And in fact, a lot of this... the man holding up civilization, right? That man and how he's not appreciated.
Mm.
That's the target of anarcho-tyranny.
Right.
That's the guy.
Right.
The guy who gets up every day, works hard, does what he's supposed to do, and then is chipped away by the government or by the criminal underclass, by whoever it is.
Right.
That's the guy who's under attack. So she, like I said, I've got some points of strong disagreement, but she does have some good points.
Where does the expression anarcho-tyranny come from?
Right. Well, I'll tell you. So Pedro Gonzalez wrote an excellent article about this in Newsweek last year. So the phrase anarcho-tyranny comes from political theorist Samuel T. Francis, who in 1994, in a column for Chronicles magazine, referred to a combination of government power against the innocent and law-abiding, and simultaneously a grotesque paralysis of the ability or will to use that power to carry out basic public duties, such as protection or public safety. And we see this in Democrat areas a lot. And it's based on the philosophy that the person is intrinsically good and made bad by society. And therefore, the society needs to be punished for failing the criminal.
Right. Okay.
Whereas I take the much more sort of Hobbesian view.
Right.
It's like, no. The criminal chose, he knew what right from wrong was, and he made the choice to commit the crime, And the people, therefore, choosing to follow the laws, pay their taxes, and be upstanding citizens are the good people, and the criminal is the bad person.
Right.
But the left has inverted this morality.
Yeah.
Right? So they think, oh, no, the people who are following the laws, paying the taxes, and being good citizens, they're actually taking advantage of a form of privilege that the criminal just has constantly denied to him.
Perpetuating a bad system.
Exactly. Which creates the criminal. And therefore, the criminal is justified in what he does to the law-abiding citizen.
Okay. Now,
and this is why the Democrats in America, in particular, but the Labour Party would do the same over here. And it's especially bad in Brazil, actually, this left-wing philosophy.
Yes.
This is why Bolsonaro was very successful when he was president. This philosophy of essentially being light on the criminals all the time. Creates real problems for the law-abiding people.
Yeah.
And this is what the anarcho-tyranny looks like.
Right, okay.
We can see this in the case of Jordan Neely. Now, you may have seen this. Go to the next one, John. Jordan Neely was a 30-year-old homeless man who was choked to death on a struggle in the subway in New York, which, I mean, it's awful, obviously. And he was choked by a man called Daniel Penny, who was a 24-year-old ex-Marine who was filmed by an onlooker as he restrained Neely. And is now facing 15 years in prison for this, right? Witnesses said that Mr. Neely, the BBC report this, that Mr. Neely had been shouting at the passengers and asking for money. There is no evidence he had attacked any of them.
Right.
Okay. That doesn't really tell people the full story. Tucker Carlson did a segment on Twitter the other day where he said, look, the problem with the media is they lie by omission. They misinform you.
Yes, they do.
By leaving things out.
Yeah.
Because that is, strictly speaking, a true statement.
Yeah.
but it doesn't tell you the whole story.
Okay.
Because there is, in fact, a lot more to this story. If you look elsewhere, you will find that Mr. Neely had been arrested 42 times in the last decade. Okay. The most recent one was in November 2021 for punching a 67-year-old woman in the face as she left the subway.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. He also, in 2015, had kidnapped a 17-year-old girl.
Oh my God.
He'd kidnapped a 7-year-old girl. If you go to the next one, John. In 2019, he'd punched a 64-year-old man in the face. And so, it's either 42 or 44 times that he's been arrested.
Right.
And lots of people are like, well, hang on a second. Why is he on the streets?
Exactly.
I was just about to say.
I was going to ask the same question.
Exactly. Yeah.
I agree.
Because the left-leaning Democrats, judges, and politicians view him as a victim of society.
Right.
How many pensioners does he have to punch in the face? How many children does he have to kidnap before he's the problem?
Yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
And that, why is this lunatic on the streets?
Right? Yeah.
And
I get that.
When Daniel Penny decided to put Mr. Neely in a chokehold, it wasn't because he just saw him standing there looking at his phone.
Mm.
Witnesses on the train called Daniel Penny a hero because they were scared for their lives.
Yeah.
Because this lunatic was being a lunatic and threatening them. Right. A retiree who witnessed Daniel Penny do this said he's a hero. The witness who described herself as, quote, a woman of color, said it was wrong for Bragg to charge Penny with second degree manslaughter. It was self-defense. I believe in my heart that he saved a lot of people that day and who could have gotten hurt. Neely was apparently screaming and threatening passengers. I'm sitting on a train reading my book and all of a sudden I hear someone spewing this rhetoric. He says, quote, I don't care if I have to kill an F, I will. I'll go to jail. I'll take a bullet. Right. So he's threatening to kill people on the train.
Yeah.
This was a 60-year-old woman. Right. Terrified passengers crowded towards the exit doors.
Yeah.
Looking at where we are on the tube, it's like the sardine can. I'm like, okay, we're between stations. There's nowhere to go. But the people on the train, we were scared. We were scared for our lives. And Penny stepped in when Neely started using the word kill and bullet.
Right. Right. Okay.
Is that unreasonable?
Right.
Well, the question is obviously, why is he still out on the street? You're absolutely right.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
But who's the one who's being charged with a crime here? You know, it's the man who stepped in to protect more elderly people.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
He's being charged with a crime. Why is that lunatic on the streets? Like, any justice system worth its salt would have just had him in jail.
I suppose the argument would be that you don't put him in a chokehold; you restrain him. In other words, I mean,
I agree.
This is easily shaped. I'm just sitting there in a chair.
Exactly.
You know, it's easy to judge, isn't it?
And I'm totally sympathetic to that.
Yeah.
You know, in a perfect world, you know, were I there, but like, maybe you should ease up on him, you know. Just, we'll all keep him pinned until we get to the next station.
Yeah.
But like you say, we weren't there.
No,
you
know? No, exactly.
Everyone was clearly very afraid.
Yeah, yeah. Was he armed? Do we know?
We don't know. Okay. It doesn't seem that he was actually armed, but he was just a very violent man.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, yeah. Okay, so look who's being persecuted. You know, the law-abiding ex-Marine who stepped up as a hero, put himself in debt, because we don't know, he could have been armed. They don't know.
Yeah, right. No, they don't know, exactly.
He could easily have had a gun, you know?
Exactly.
And it's like, it's New York, of course he could easily.
Yeah, of course. Well, a weapon, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, any weapon, you know.
Didn't we have this in the UK some time ago, where I think the guy, Mr. Martin,
the farmer,
shot a housebreaker in the back?
Yep.
And he was the one that was arrested, eventually let off.
Yeah, after public outrage.
But only, yeah, exactly.
There was another guy in his 60s who fought an intruder with a screwdriver and stabbed him and killed him with the screwdriver. And again, it took public outrage to get them to drop the case because they want to punish the law-abiding person for defending themselves.
Yeah.
You know, and we've got another example of this. And this is the problem with this. Is that there's
I've seen this online. What happened here? I'm confused.
So a video, the short video is that this woman is essentially trying to push the man next to her, screeching, help me, and saying, you know, fake crying, according to the people who write these articles. I mean, this is on bicycling.com. Pregnant New York City Karen trying to steal a man's city bike, fake crying. So, you know, she's framed as the aggressor. And the thing is, the video is so short that you can't see.
No, that's why I watched it. I thought, can't make a judgment.
Exactly. You can't make a judgment, right? We can't make a judgment because we're trying to reserve judgment, to be fair, right? But there are lots of people who we'll see in a minute are not fair and just rush to judgment, right? They say many black people have voiced their disdain about white privilege, how it can be weaponized to cause harm in ill-fated circumstances, possibly even loss of life. Right, okay, so she's complaining that he's taking her bike, and he says, no, this is my bike, and she's trying to take it off me. It's like, okay, well, you know, I guess we'll wait for the evidence.
Yeah, exactly.
But this is being ginned up into somehow a loss of life. It's like, no, this is just seems like a very normal civil dispute.
Just fighting over a bike.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Right? And so they complain, and she now is portrayed as the victim.
Right.
And so you've got the activist lobby in America for black people, such as Ben Crump, if you can get to the next one, John. This is unacceptable. A white woman was caught on camera. I love this is racialized. Mm. A white woman was caught on camera attempting to steal a city bike from a young black man in New York City. Is that how it normally goes?
No, she grossly...
It's just two people, isn't it? Their gender and their color is irrelevant.
Paint this man as a threat.
She grossly tried to weaponize her tears to paint this man as a threat. This is exactly the kind of behavior that has endangered so many black men in the past. Like, right, so this woman who's claiming that her bike's being stolen is a danger to the guy she's saying is stealing it. Well, that's interesting. And so people started getting very angry at her. They found her social media.
Okay.
And so she was forced to delete it all. I mean, look at this sort of, 3.6 million views, right?
My God.
City Bike Karen has deleted all her social media accounts. Don't hide now, bitch. Be as loud and proud as you were when you weaponized your white lady tears and screamed help to get those young black men killed. Like, are you a maniac?
Absolute maniac. And that person who calls herself the journalista.
Yes.
Yeah, right. These people are nuts.
Yeah, they are nuts. Also, are we to assume that's the only City Bike?
Well, exactly.
I mean, there are a whole rack of them?
I don't live in the city, so yeah. I don't use their bikes. So, I understood that you had an app and you went up and you got a bike and you did on the machine and you take your bike. So there were other bikes available. So why him or her just go, I'll take that bike?
Well, that's a good question.
Why would you just do that?
I suppose someone had already paid for the bike.
Doesn't this also lead us
right,
to...
So maybe him or her has already paid for the bike.
Yeah.
And the other...
Is trying to take it.
Is trying to take it. Or they've both paid for the same bike and they're trying to take that. Is that possible?
Possibly.
I'm just trying to be devil's advocate.
Wouldn't it be wise to have bikes for white people and bikes for black people? Just keep it separate.
That's kind of where they're going, isn't it? But they do say that she's a suspected white supremacist.
Is she?
Could you imagine? How many views has this tweet got, John, just out of interest? We can scroll down. There's only 3.1 million people.
Oh, that's all.
He gets to call her a suspected white supremacist woman tried to steal a city bike from a black kid.
What's that even
after
mean?
After he paid for it, right? So she's a white supremacist, or suspected white supremacist. She's trying to steal the bike. He paid for it, and him and his friends wouldn't allow her to steal it. She went through all the Karen tactics trying to get black youths hemmed up. Screaming for help, fake crying, and mayo babbling, which is apparently, mayo means white person.
Does it
smear?
Yes. Okay.
Right.
Well, I prefer sour cream. So.
Yeah. Exactly.
Please. Let's see. I just don't understand
any of this. I mean,
is it likely though that a woman on her own approaches a group of black people in New York City and says, "Give me that bike, kid," and then tries to take it?
I'm a white supremacist.
Yeah. Exactly. Is that likely?
I don't know what way. I do know
what happened.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because obviously that didn't happen.
No.
Obviously, a middle-aged woman or young woman didn't go up to a bunch of young black men and try to steal the bloody bike in the middle of the city.
That is unlikely.
I mean, because she's got the fucking receipts.
Yeah.
She paid for the bike. He came over and tried to take it off her.
Oh, she got the receipt?
Of course she has, because it's digital.
Right.
Of course she's got the receipt, right? But of course, now there's this massive activist organization against her. It's framed her. The media has defamed her. She's now a Nazi. Millions of people. Her social media is all shut down because she was robbed.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yes, exactly. Okay.
She's done nothing wrong. You know, God forbid that I have to support a woman. But the point is, she's the victim. They're the perpetrators. And yet it's totally the other way around.
I do get that. And I understand her anger. If that personally happened to me, I would go, if you need that bike so much,
you take it, mate.
Take it, mate.
Yeah.
I would. Because life's too short for this bullshit.
But it's not justice.
No, it's not. I completely agree. I completely agree with you. But there's certain things I will definitely get upset about. I just think we're on this earth for 80 years if we're lucky, and there's certain things that come along. You just think, do you know what?
And I agree with you.
Yeah.
You know,
Morgan.
I'm not supporting either of these because I don't know exactly what happened. But if she's got the receipt, presumably that bike's hers.
Morgan Freeman said, if you want this race issue to go away or to lessen, stop talking about it.
But as you can see, there's a massive well-funded and well-organized block of people who live to keep it alive.
Well, that,
yes, they do.
I'm with Candace Owens on this a lot of the time, which is, and that's why the Democratic Party wants black people to feel inferior, because then they need the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And
they want them to take white.
They do. Yeah, they don't want them to be aspiring and to be, hopeful and all that kind of stuff. You know, so I kind of and there's a whole bunch of people. It's the same with the LGBTQ thing. There's a whole bunch of people whose livelihoods depend and their sense of importance depends on them adopting this position. It's part of their. Yep. It's what they do. You know,
it's how they get validation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Friction benefits a lot of people.
It does, absolutely.
But anyway, this kind of attitude is coming here, right? It's one thing happening in New York, but it's another thing happening here. Now, I watched this video that was going around the other day.
I've seen this.
Hated it.
Yeah.
Let's just watch it so people at home can see what's happening.
Get into random houses, let's go.
I agree with Fred. It makes me wonder this TikTok, and it's just... Yeah.
It makes my blood boil.
Yeah. The door's open, for God's sake.
Well, the cleaners.
James? She's cleaning outside.
Come to the front door right now, please.
James?
James?
Hi. You man from?
Hello, James.
We need to speak to James.
James?
Hi.
Hi. That James.
Is this where the study group is?
No. No. What door number is this?
No. Study group.
Yeah, 5:30. Come on. Come on. It's a bit more bad. Come on. I'm sorry.
But this is not where the study group is.
We've got kids, man.
Oh, you got kids? Oh, sorry. Yeah, oh, I thought this was the study group. And this is the study group.
No. I'd break their bones.
Yeah, you would be right.
I would break their bones.
Morally, as far as I'm concerned.
If someone walked into my house like that.
With my kids there.
If they stood on the doorstep and knocked, fine. If they just walked in, I'm afraid that would end up going quite
badly
for them.
I hate to say. If the owner of that house had a gun, do you think they'd walk in the front door?
Well,
not in a million years.
The quote tweets on this are all Americans saying, just try it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Try it.
I'm very jealous of you Americans. You know, we were discussing this before the podcast.
Yeah,
you know,
we were.
There's one thing you've got right. It's self-defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a very strange situation where the only people who are not armed are the people that put people in power who are armed.
Exactly.
It's very odd that we're the only people, we pay for everything, and we're the only people who can't protect ourselves.
Did this actually happen to me?
I don't get that.
Do you remember? I woke up with kids in my house.
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm not a people trafficker.
I believe it.
I better just put that out there. So I'd stupidly come home late and drunk and hadn't closed my door properly. And I woke up and I heard noise downstairs. And I jumped straight out of bed and went downstairs, and there were kids in my house, and I got pretty unpleasant with them, has to be said.
And I don't want to be accused of profiling, but there is a knife crime epidemic in London.
There is.
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
Among certain demographics.
Yeah.
And so if you're that husband and father...
You'd have to be concerned.
It would have to be in the...
Yeah. I mean, the kids who are in my house were white.
Right.
Just so you know.
I mean, I'd still be concerned. Stabbings happen here.
This kind of
stabbing culture has come here.
Well, it's quite interesting. There was a clip of a stop and search, and I think it might have been in London.
Yeah.
Two coppers stopping a guy, a young black kid, and they took a machete out of his trousers. I mean,
Jesus.
It was like this. Yeah. Honestly. It was
What are you carrying this around for?
And there's I don't know who he was. I think it might have been an MP. Mm. And he was saying, at what point in British civil life, have you ever needed a machete down the street?
When was
that ever necessary?
But remember Sadiq Khan, we're going to end stop and search. That was his primary campaign pledge in 2015.
Yeah.
We're going to end it. And what happened? Knife crime went through the roof.
Yeah. Mm. He doesn't. Sadiq Khan is not working for the benefit of Londoners.
No,
you can be sure of that.
But that's the point, isn't it? It's the Londoners in the middle who are paying taxes, following the laws, being good citizens, and then the underclass and the overclass are coming together to squeeze them. And so now this man is totally defenseless in his own home with a bunch of youths, jobs, who are just totally disrespectful.
Yeah, yeah. And this is just
disrespectful.
This is just done for clicks, isn't it?
Just done for clicks.
Mm. Exactly. And this is,
This is really pathetic.
This is the most benign.
It is. It's moronic,
right? Yeah.
It's moronic and stupid, but it's also terrifying because it might not have been this.
No.
Exactly. It could easily have been much worse.
Yes.
So I don't think it is set up, but why would these kids put their faces on camera? I suppose it's like that.
Because they know they're not going to get in trouble for it.
That's what you think, yeah?
Really? I do.
Yeah, okay, you might be right.
Because if it were me, My dad would have seen this. Oh my God, I would have got to hide it.
Oh, me too.
Yeah. Oh God.
Yeah, me too.
They're not going to get hiding.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Now, again, we can speak to fatherlessness. We can speak to all sorts of problems with discipline in the schools and with the police and the authorities, because these are all problems. But they accumulate in this level of disrespect. Yeah. They know nothing is going to happen to them.
Mm.
Nothing is going to happen to them.
I just don't believe that anything is accidental. I really don't.
I agree.
I really don't. The coppers off the streets. But ill-disciplined, you know, it's all part of a. It's all part of a plan.
That girl who's posted this, she's at slut.
Yeah,
that's nice, isn't it?
Well, I mean, when you say girl,
yeah,
well that could be anyone on the internet. It could
that's
be
true.
A boss.
Sorry, true.
So maybe what I would do.
Are they estate agents?
They're estate agents.
These kids were estate agents.
They're estate agents. That's what it is.
Oh yeah, possibly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or it doesn't explain the kids in the back.
No, it doesn't. No. Is this the guy who owns the house?
I think so.
Yeah.
But anyway, so you would think that there's no one around who can defend this, but you'd be wrong.
Yeah.
You could, of course, find people.
Who would defend that?
Communists would defend this because they want you to live in fear. Now, Ash Sarkar would say, well, hang on a second, I'm not defending it. But she says, how much of this is genuinely new? It's like, I don't care. I don't care if this has been going on for 1,000 years, Ash. You know, the fact that it happens once is too many times. Yeah. If it happened a million times before, that's too many times. If this was the very first time, that's too many times.
Yeah, I agree. Right? I agree.
Why are you speaking in defense of this?
Yeah.
You know, this is unacceptable.
Yeah, she is trying to
muddy the waters.
Yeah, she is. I mean, she's right. It's not new. People have always been messing with other people's property and being prats, but
it's not the same.
This is very different because it puts it on it's the level of views, isn't it?
And also
it's also the public display.
Also corruption, moral corruption of one kind or another, which is what I think this is. It comes from the top. It trickles down. People talk about the trickle down theory in terms of money. You get it in every.
It's totally true in terms of morals.
When we have an ex-prime minister who lies through his tooth like Johnson did, when we have a prime minister like Sunak who is minted and clearly doesn't give a damn about British people,
why should
average Joe on the street care?
Yeah.
Because they're not getting any lessons, they're not getting any guidance from the top.
Yeah, the only trickle-down that seems to be happening is the criminality.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
But I mean, this just strikes me as a level of blasé disrespect that just wasn't possible when I was young.
No, it wasn't.
Like, you know,
wasn't possible.
You rang the doorbell and ran away.
What
was that called? Was it some knockdown?
Yeah, everyone's got a name for
yes,
it. Right?
But that's
not home invasion, which is what this was.
This is a home invasion. Yeah.
You know, and they don't even see it. That's the prank for them. And it's like, no. If you can get to the next one, this chap called Paul here, I don't know who this is, but he makes a great point about this, right? You can F around with the middle class all you want. They're not going to fight you. They have a career, a family, and a reputation.
Yeah.
And it all goes away if they do something that could be perceived as criminal.
Yeah.
You see that in the previous examples that we've shown.
Yeah.
Even the woman defending the bike she purchased, she got suspended from her job for that.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like she did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
No.
You know, the guy who saved everyone from the lunatic who should have been in jail.
Yeah.
I don't think he did anything wrong. He's the one who's facing 15 years in jail. Yeah. These kids will never be punished.
No, they won't.
This guy, 44 times arrested, what's he doing on the street?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is what anarcho tyranny is, and I think it's just awful.
Right.
But this is the future, and it's coming to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't you think? I mean, there was a thing the other day about it's a different thing, but in a way, it's the same thing. The teacher that got sacked because she mispronounced an 8-year-old.
Yes, that's right. Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's that kind of insanity that's bleeding into everything, I think.
Also, kids aren't stupid. They'll pick up on that.
And they pick up on it.
And they'll mess with you.
Yeah.
Totally.
They'll just mess with you.
They can see where the power lies.
Exactly. Yes, they can.
And they'll leverage it. And they don't know why they shouldn't.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, we've both got a bunch of mates. And if these kids did anything like that,
my kids did something.
Yes.
We'd send the Albanians in.
Yeah,
we've got some Albanian friends. They're sorted out. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I mean, I just think there's certain friends of mine. I tell you, if these kids did that, they would end up in the boot of a car. In some desolate part of England.
Yeah.
Honestly, I remember my dad telling me about, you know, getting flogged in school and stuff like that. And I'm like, bring that back. Seriously, bring that back. You know, flogging for these kids. This is what you get for doing this to anyone.
Well, the thing is, they should have it. I mean, there's a whole Christopher Hitchens issue about whether you need biblical teaching to teach you right from wrong. We were talking about this earlier. But these kids like this have no innate sense of right and wrong.
That's right.
That's the problem. They have, and as you said earlier, they have no innate sense of respecting somebody We don't know how that guy's earned that house. No. He might have been working his nuts off for the last 35 years.
He's there
years.
With his wife and family.
And he's there with his wife and family. Yeah. And this stupid kid thinks it's funny. And there was a thing the other day about a guy being pushed onto the tracks in a station by somebody. And they did it because they thought it was funny.
Mm. That's so evil.
I mean, it's just, it is completely evil, I think.
And, this is why I'm on the Hobbesian position. I don't think we're born good and made evil by society, like Rousseau says. I think, actually, without proper instruction, we become bad people like this. And actually,
I don't.
Yeah, but that's what we're looking at.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, and it sounds nice to say, oh, we're intrinsically good, but actually, I'm not sure we are.
But these four kids here, three or four kids here, there's three or four kids somewhere else doing good.
Well, yeah, I'm sure there are, but like these aren't.
Have to remember that.
No. I'm not saying kids are bad. But what I'm saying is they're not formed in a vacuum, right? So the kids that are doing good are the ones who know that they're going to be disciplined by their parents, right? They're the ones who know that they're going to be
disciplined somewhere,
in some way,
accountable,
by the parents, by the schools, by the police.
Yeah.
You know, like I was. You know, I grew up and I didn't do anything like this,
no,
because I knew I would get in trouble and it would be wrong for me to do it. Whereas these kids who haven't been disciplined are doing that because they know they're not going to get in trouble.
Yes.
Because, and so it's not that we're not born good or evil. But without guidance and proper habituation, well, you can go one way or
people
you can go
need
the
structure,
other way, right? Yeah. And that's what's lacking.
Well, I think structure is important. Absolutely. No, I agree with that. The only thing I'd say is that if we think that I believe that some people are born good, that intrinsically good, but I think by the same token, some people are born intrinsically bad.
I
really do. I think
I actually have a more optimistic view. Because if someone's born intrinsically bad, then that means they're irredeemable. I don't really think anyone's irredeemable. I think people are the product of their circumstances.
Well, I think some people are irredeemable.
I mean, maybe some people.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll give them that. But anyway, that's a deeper philosophical discussion.
It is.
Let's move on to the final segment, which is why are they hiding the Nashville Shooters Manifesto?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I don't know much about this, so I'm looking forward to being educated.
Yes.
Right, okay. Well, before we begin, go and support us at lowcities.com. So we got demonetized on YouTube for speaking the truth. And so to keep the lights on, we need you to go and sign up and pay £5 a month and watch the amazing epic content we have, which is this. We snuck into the British Museum with a camera. You're not allowed, really, but we did.
Right.
And we went around all the Assyrian stuff, and the Assyrians were mental. Absolutely mental. They had a very efficient policy, though. They used to pay their soldiers by the head. So they ended up.
Did they?
Oh yeah, all of the reliefs. You can see the piles of heads, and then the eunuch administrators with their things handing over money, and then the soldiers handing over heads.
Oh,
it's just like.
God.
And, but the thing is, it's not like they just did this and that was it. They made a big relief about it, so thousands of years later, everyone can know about it. It's like these people were insane.
Right,
but these were this was the empire that ruled the Middle East for about 1,000 years.
Right. Well, wouldn't it?
It would. Exactly. It would.
Yeah.
And we make light of it, but my God, these people were.
Yeah,
it's fascinating stuff.
Interesting.
And it was a lot of work to go down there, and we nearly got kicked out 3 times recording.
Right.
Did you go with secret cameras or?
No, we went with a big camera.
Did you? Really?
Yeah, we just blagged it.
Oh my God.
But we shouldn't have done. But it was just from a blog.
Just you, man.
Yeah, but anyway, I mean, we pay for the British Museum.
Yeah, we do.
Absolutely.
So I'm like, no, I'm
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I think absolutely.
That's a good point.
I'm not having any of this.
No.
Anyway, so go and support us because that honestly, that's one of my favorite pieces of
I'd
content.
I'd like to see that.
I'll watch that. Yeah.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I'll give you a free account if you want.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant.
Let's talk about the Nashville shooting in 2015.
I know very little about this.
Yeah,
I only have to know about it because of politics, really. But on 27th of March, as Wikipedia tells us, mass shooting occurred at the Covenant School, a Presbyterian church in America, an elementary school, in the Green Hills neighborhood of Nashville, Tennessee. Aidan Hale, who is a trans female to male, born Audrey Hale, was a former student of the school, went in there with guns, killed three 9-year-old children and 3 adults before being shot by 2 police officers.
Right.
Obviously, it's a hideous tragedy.
Yeah.
No one is in favor of and anyone on either side of this issue. What I want to make clear is I'm not saying, because every time something like this happens, and mass shootings, I think, really are an American pathology.
Mm.
This is a facet of American society. Because it doesn't happen in Canada. Canada has a lot of guns.
It
we
does.
Actually have
it
millions
does.
Of guns in this country.
Yeah, yeah.
But Americans seem to think that we don't have access to any guns. It's like, no, we actually do. They're just owned by farmers to shoot foxes.
Yes,
most of the time, you know. And so, but you don't get mass shootings in anywhere else other than America. Really, it's a very unusual thing. But in America, they have lots of them every year. And I think this is a kind of American pathology where it seems to be the person railing against society itself. right? When you go to a shopping supermarket or a mall or whatever, when you go to a place where there are lots of strangers you don't know, why would you shoot people you don't know? Why wouldn't you shoot the people who'd wronged you?
You know,
you go to their house and shoot the people who wronged you. If I if I was, you know, ever inclined, I'd be thinking of individuals, named individuals. And so the only, and this is just my theory, but like I can only assume that when you're attacking just a random milieu of people, you're attacking what you perceive to be the broader society itself. For some reason, this civilization failed me.
I want
to lash out.
Yeah, I see.
Know. But I mean, in this particular case, because she went to the school, it might not be that.
Yeah.
So it might be something else. Yes. And actually, that seems to be the case in this particular case. Because in most mass shootings, they seem to be fairly spontaneous, if that's the right word. Right. You know, someone's very angry that day. They go and pick up a gun, and then they just go on a shooting spree, and then they get shot, right, as they should be. But this person, Audrey Hale, Aidan Hale, had a manifesto. And that speaks to an ideological commitment.
Yes.
So has targeted a Christian school on purpose, because of course this person was a very left-wing person.
Right.
They themselves were transgender, involved in social media in left-wing circles, and so they had ideological commitments, and that's clearly what is in the manifesto, although we don't know, because they haven't released it. But having been in this sphere of politics for a long time, I bet I could write the manifesto.
Where is the manifesto? Do we know who has it?
The police have it.
The police.
And they haven't released it.
I'll show you. I'll take you through the The very interesting state of affairs. But just going on to the next one, her mother obviously is heartbroken over this. I lost my daughter, so she's misgendered.
That's awesome. Sorry.
Yeah,
you've seen this. Yeah, yes, I have. Okay.
Yeah.
But she, Hale, sent her mother messages just before it happened saying something very bad was going to happen and asked for forgiveness and then went on. And I just think, well, look, man, you know, if you're at the point where you're like, I'm about to do something very bad, it's like, maybe you shouldn't. Maybe you should stop. We've got some more info from the next one, which is Hale was a Nashville-based graphic designer, so she's a local to the community there.
Right.
You know, these are people she did actually know. Was not disliked in her community, so I've no idea what's happened here. And that's really why we need to see the manifesto, because what's going to be in it is why I'm angry.
Right.
Why I want to lash out so bad.
We would hope that's what's in it.
It's bad.
As opposed to just gobbledygook. Yeah, exactly. Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong, it's going to be gobbledygook.
And
this is another thing. Almost every ideological position you can think of has a mass shooter attached to it. Right. Everyone. There was a guy who yelled free speech or die. So, you know, the libertarian position has one.
Speech or die.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. But then you've got multiple trans shooters, you've got white nationalist shooters.
Yeah.
You know, you've got Islamists, you know, you've got every one of these positions, which is, maybe not all of them are legitimate, but like, you know, have some legitimacy underlining some of them, but every single position, even the most credible one, like Bernie Sanders has a mass shooter. Like there was this guy who shot a judge in America yelling about healthcare. He was a Bernie Sanders fan.
Right.
What are you doing?
I
put the mass shooting down to the individual who is basically a maniac, right? Something wrong with their mind. They fixate on a cause and then they take their revenge against society. It's not any one cause that is uniquely evil when it comes to mass shooters. Now you may get causes that disproportionately produce them, and that may be like jihadism is something to be inquired into. But what I'm trying to establish here is I'm not saying you are bad because you are left-wing, or because you are right-wing, or because you are transgender, or because you're a white person, or because you're black, or whatever. That's not what this is. No. I think it's a mental health crisis. Right?
Okay.
And I think this is what's happening here.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yeah, yeah.
Do we have any, historically, do mass shootings go back in American society to, you know, before the war? Or
There have been, but it's really about the number, right? So there are examples of, like, you know, people who come back from war and who are just
traumatized, yeah.
But a lot of those are really suicides. You know, they'll kill themselves. But there are examples, you know, from like the Columbine shooters.
Yes. Yeah, but again, that's relatively recent.
I mean, I'm thinking about before the war.
I mean, for instance, whether this is a
historic,
or where Jordan Peterson is, right, and saying that the food we're eating and the pills we're taking are driving some people insane.
Well, I do think that medication is, you know, depression medication in particular.
Yeah.
It's probably something. But again, this is all speculation on my part. I'm in no way an expert.
Right.
But you are right. It's not, when we say historic, it's not historic. You know, it's been going on for a few decades now, but the numbers are clearly ticking up.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
So there's some sort of pressure cooker that's happening. It's increasing this.
And I
really think it's a mental health issue.
Yeah.
But anyway, there was a debate around releasing the manifesto, a national debate in America. And this is interesting because it's difficult to see who's on the other side of it, actually. Right? The Nashville police officers are the lead investigators. They're the ones who have access to the manifesto because it was in her possession.
Yep.
And you've got senators in America saying, well, it should be released because, of course, a democratic society... Mm. We've got the Christchurch shooters manifesto. We've got, there was a black nationalist who went on a killing spree, and we've got his manifesto. We've got, you know, they usually, I mean, usually they get leaked to the internet. And so they say that it seems very perplexing for all of us involved. It seems that certain information is flooded into the marketplace immediately if it fits the narrative, so to speak. If the information does not fit the narrative, it seems to be suppressed. And that's the interesting thing, because this is going to be left-wing doctrine is what's likely to be in this manifesto.
Right.
And why is that an issue? Right. It should be fine for us to read it, just like it's fine for us to read all the rest of them, right? Because, again, it's a democracy. We are the voting public.
Mm.
We need to be able to make our own judgments.
Do you think it would still be, be prevented from people reading it if Trump was in the White House?
I don't know.
I'm wondering whether this is all part of a Biden-y kind of wokeist
left-wing. We're guessing, aren't we?
Yeah, I'm just guessing.
Because the manifesto might have something completely different in it.
I wouldn't dare to speculate, and you are right, it could be completely
different. Yeah.
But, like I said, I would put good money on knowing.
You might be right. I don't know.
I know. We can't know. Right?
No.
But I'm pretty sure I know what it's going to say. But the point is, they say people talk about double standards, and if this person was this or that, you get a lot of angry people. I think the police are concerned about that. So you can see that the debate is, well, we've got all of the right-wing manifestos.
Mm.
Why are you hiding the left-wing manifestos?
Okay.
There's also, wasn't there an issue that it was a Christian school?
Yes.
That was also,
and that probably comes
thought
up,
to be part of the issue.
That it undoubtedly is.
Yeah,
Okay.
But they did anticipate releasing the manifesto shortly afterwards. It was being reviewed for public release.
So that, does that mean redacted?
You know, I wouldn't even mind if it was redacted in places, you know, to hide personal details.
Yeah. Or sure, okay. Like
that would be acceptable, you know, I think, you know, to protect people's identity.
Is that the girl there that became the bloke?
No, I don't think it is.
It isn't.
Maybe it is. I don't know.
I think it is.
I think it is too.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
why would anybody want to be a bloke? It's very tough.
I know, right?
Being a bloke these days is very tough.
I know,
indeed.
Like nobody says it.
No,
I think it's because they've convinced themselves there's such a thing as male privilege.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, you don't understand.
No,
male privilege is not what you think it is.
No, exactly.
But a Metro Nashville councilwoman, Courtney Johnson, spoke to the media about this. She's not involved in the investigation, but she, the law enforcement personnel she's spoken to, says the manifesto, quote, keeps them up at night.
Oh,
that's interesting, isn't it?
That's not good, is it?
No. I mean, I've read a lot of these manifestos, and none of them keep me up at night because it's just the insane ramblings of someone who spent far too much time in their own head.
Yes.
That's a quote, keep me up at night, doesn't
it?
The
police officer said, quote, it keeps them up at night.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, very interesting. So it was given to a judge to see if it should be released.
Okay.
And so if you go to the next one, a Tennessee judge is set to decide whether the full unredacted manifesto of Audrey Elizabeth Hale will be publicly released. The city's lawyers have submitted the manifesto along with a censored version for review. So they've got a copy of it, and the copy is redacted in certain parts. Okay, fine.
Right, okay.
Well, then release the redacted.
Yes, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
What's the holdup here,
right?
This comes after a slew of lawsuits calling on the city to release the manifesto in its entirety. The motive has not yet been determined, although you have literally got a manifesto.
Mm.
That generally tells you what the motive of the person is.
Exactly.
You know, usually they're bonkers. And of course, the writings are believed to bring insight into why Hale, a former student at this Christian elementary school, committed the atrocity. So yes, isn't it something we deserve to know?
Yeah.
Right? But then combine that with the, it keeps me up at night.
The other way you could go, I'm obviously all speculating, but you might find out that at this there was an abuse at this school.
Absolutely.
Possibly.
Absolutely.
And that could be
and that should be exposed.
And that could be naming names.
And I was going to ask, maybe. The other question I was going to ask was, how Who long was? Is it since this person left that school?
Well, she's 28.
She's 20. Oh, yeah. She's 28. Oh, okay.
So it's been a few years.
Ten years or whatever.
And I could totally believe that it could be in, not ideological at all. It could be about
it could be abuse, absolutely.
And if it is, it should be
it
exposed.
It still should be. I completely
that
agree.
That person
with you.
Should be going to jail, you know? But yeah, the more information has come to light. Apparently, it was a blueprint on total destruction, this manifesto. It's like, oh my God.
What the hell?
A blueprint on total destruction.
Yeah, like I said, I can't give you any more details than that because that's literally all we know about it.
Christ, right? Okay.
So pressure begins mounting. The National Police Association and a private investigator in Tennessee have been suing the county officials, demanding copies of the writing.
Mm.
And a judge is expected to make a decision in June, so sometime this month.
Yeah.
We don't really have any further information, except that the school itself has intervened to stop the manifesto coming out.
Oh.
Oh.
It's very strange.
That smells, doesn't it?
That's not good, is it?
So, the school itself has intervened, as in filed a lawsuit against the city, seeking to prevent the release of the manifesto.
Mm.
Because the manifesto, they say, may include information owned by the school, such as schematics of the buildings and confidential information about employees, the church argues. Covenant Church is so situated that the disposition of this action may impair or impede its ability to protect its interest and the privacy of its employees. Okay, and that's a fair...
That's a fair point.
Point.
Yeah.
But that could be redacted
absolutely
by the police.
That's just what I was thinking.
You know, what? And so if it's not about abuse, which it might not be.
No,
you know,
that's true. Just a guess.
That's a, you know, we don't need to know the schematics of the school. We don't need to know the names of the employees.
No.
You know, that could all be redacted.
Yeah.
Why would they want to stop it coming out, though? We know there a redacted version exists.
Yeah.
So why doesn't it specify?
No, exactly.
You know, why are they taking the session? This is very, very strange.
It's very suspicious the school doesn't want it released.
Yeah.
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Yeah. And the fact that it's this harbored grudge appears to be against the school. Like, I think you're on something. I think there's some sort of abuse that's been going on.
Yeah.
But again, who can know?
No, exactly.
Who can know?
And why would they? I mean, that thing they're saying about privacy of employees, I'm sure just... a cursory glance at social media, you could find out who works there.
I bet you could look at their website.
Yeah.
Get the names of all.
Well, exactly. I think it sounds a bit.
So that's a weird.
It is a weird position.
Yeah.
And also, people who want to keep it, when they say it keeps me up at night, they would say that if they want to keep it quiet. They want to make it sound horrifying. Yeah. They want to justify their position in some way.
I suppose so.
I mean, what if it's a child trafficking ring?
Or child trafficking.
In there?
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It keeps me up at night. Well, yeah, because I mean. That would keep you up.
Absolutely.
It would, yeah. It's a weird thing to say.
It is.
Yeah, but then if that was the case, why would she shoot children in the school?
Well, I think you're right. I think you're right to say that it's a lot of this smacks of a mental, condition. And I thought, you know, and it sounds a bit ridiculous, but and sometimes it's a small, like I say, it's a small stuff that give the game away. That person was wearing combat trousers in a school.
Mm.
Mm.
You know, it's almost like I'm playing the part. I'm operating in a way that I've seen other people operate.
Yeah.
Because she had prepared for this.
Yes.
She'd spent a lot of time preparing for
Same with Columbine, actually. Wasn't
they? Yeah.
They think we're going into combat, don't they?
Yeah, they think they're going into combat.
Shooting unarmed people.
Yeah,
it's mad.
Children.
It's madness.
It's mental, yeah.
But anyway, the last thing on this is that the police chief did specify that this was, quote, a targeted attack. And reporters asking the police chief, and the reporter just says, was this a targeted attack? And he says, it was. So they chose this place. They chose these people for a reason.
Right.
So,
okay.
Like I said, we can't know anything about it until we get access to the manifesto. And I think that people deserve to know.
Yeah, we don't know. Obviously, the school might have been targeted, well, obviously was targeted, but we don't know whether the children were.
Yes.
Specifically, they might have just been in the wrong place at the wrong time.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's something very fishy about this amount of legislation and, you know, I mean, I'm surprised someone hasn't just leaked it.
Well, you think so, would you? In this world we live in,
Exactly.
Yeah, this is something that happens all the time. But for some reason, with this, we're still like a month past it and we still don't know.
Yeah.
And it's very, very strange. So I thought I'd give people an update on that. With that, do we have video comments today, John? Let's go to the video comments.
Yeah, I don't have anything to say. I just want to enjoy the puppies. The first one is going to its forever home this Sunday, so...
Oh, look. Puppies. Aren't they lovely?
Ow!
Oh, look.
Brilliant.
What breed are they?
Come on, what breed are they?
Can we ask a question?
No, no. There's a video she's pre-recorded.
That's funny.
Feel free to send us more wholesome videos
that. We like that. Comments.
Especially after some of the stuff we have to cover.
Yeah.
That is a very nice palate cleanser.
Exactly. I watch a lot of Epoch Times.
Oh, yeah.
Which is all about little furry animals and dogs and cats. Exactly.
Facebook knows I like that sort of stuff as well.
Because it all comes up.
Because it's like, do you want to watch these animals being bros? And it's like, yes, I do, actually.
I need something nice.
Look, I spend all day looking at this terrible stuff, like animals being kind. Turning into my nan.
I love it.
I do, but sometimes you have to.
You have to.
There's so much doom and gloom out there. You've got to have some time out there.
I was telling Fred, there's a great clip of a parrot on the top of a sofa, and the parrot's tail was hanging down, and there's a cat on the floor, and the cat was thinking about just grabbing the thing, and then suddenly the parrot looks around, and the cat starts checking the wall. Don't worry about me.
I was doing this the whole time. Let's go for the next one, John.
So today we're going to look at a member of the genus Castalia. Don't ask me the species. But the cool thing about these guys is that they are a hemiparasitic plant. So as you can see, it's growing on this aster bush. And as you can see, something I find kind of interesting about them is that they kind of have these false petals too. So there you go.
California refugee regularly send us Californian botany videos.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Okay. I don't know anything about,
nor do I,
any of it. Nor but I. It's just an interesting, he'll give us an interesting thing. Interesting.
That is quite interesting. Yeah. Okay. What was interesting about that plant? The petals weren't real, were they?
Because it was a parasite.
It's faking them.
So it's fake plants.
It's fake plants.
Kind of, yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, isn't that a Trump thing?
We're not on YouTube now, so we can't. Anyway, Derek says, seriously, it's great to see counters that all musicians are leftist and Marxist. You should deal with it or change. So he's basically congratulating you on not being crazy.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. We're not crazy. You guys are taking a lot of stick for this.
Well, yes, we have. It's eased off a bit lately.
The mood is changing a tad. Yeah, we're being asked to go on certain shows and
BBC.
And radio stations, that we weren't being invited on before.
BBC.
Yep. It's changing a little bit abroad. We've been asked to a few festivals that we wouldn't have gone on before.
Oh, okay.
And we did a thing in Gibraltar. I hate the expression truth, though, because I think it sounds like really arrogant. I know the truth. I hate that. But anyway, for want of a better word, we did a thing in Gibraltar, which was with that Dr. Asima Halcher and Claire Craig. It was just discussing COVID and stuff around it. And what was interesting, although we had a lot of heat at the time, we've now been asked to replicate that event right in Germany, Denmark, across Netherlands, UK. Whether we will, we don't know. But it's interesting that we've been asked to do it. And there's funding there to make the event work properly, expenses and whatever, venues and stuff. So that's interesting. And also we've got a new album out called The Singles Album, which is released on June 2nd. And we're getting racked and stopped by retailers that not only have we've been blanked from in the last 3 years, but actually even before that, because we're an independent band and we didn't even always have access to those retailers, that's changed as well. So there is a bit of a shift.
What I like about this is it shows people, look, if you stick to your guns, you're going to have to walk through the fire.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
And it's going to burn. It's going to be painful.
It was painful. It still is sometimes.
Well, it's a Churchill thing, isn't it? If you're in hell, just keep walking.
Yeah, exactly.
It is.
No, that's exactly right.
It is, yeah.
That's exactly right. Because and what I love is that you guys have been just unwavering on all of this. Because obviously I've been following your activism for a while now. And I honestly thought, like, whenever you see someone famous come out and say, don't know if I agree with this, lads. Yeah. I think there's a bit of an issue with this or that or the other. Yeah. It usually, the powers that be, the mob descends on them, threatens them with everything they've got. We're going to take all of this away from you. And then they go, oh, sorry. They take it back. But you guys haven't walked back anything.
No, we didn't.
That's part of the...
I don't know why.
Yeah, that's part of the...
No, but I like that. That's what I've got you on.
Yeah,
it's partly to do with being independent.
Yeah,
we don't have management or a record label or a publisher. We don't even have a UK agent.
Really?
No, we don't. They won't.
Right, said Fred, don't have a UK
we
agent.
Don't. They won't touch us.
They won't touch no. us. Look, well, they may do now, but...
Yeah, they might
how
do now,
millions
but,
of yeah. albums have you sold? You know, like...
They're over 30 million.
Mm. Yeah, Jesus Christ. Yeah.
Well, no, we don't have anything.
I mean, just it's just in the last... We've hit over a billion, as writers, we've hit over a billion streams now as writers.
And you can't even get a UK agent.
Won't get a UK agent.
That's just mad.
And some of the, I mean, the usual suspects won't, the big festivals, we all know who they are, they have pledged never to have us. Yeah.
One thing, one festival shall be remain nameless. They had a band on, and the band, this festival wouldn't have us on.
Right.
But one of the other bands that was on was playing one of our songs.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. They did the encore with Up to Sexy.
But I tell you what, man, like you say, I can feel a change in the air.
There is a shift.
Yeah, and also, my thing is, I'm passionate about the freedom of speech issue in this country, and the what's the word for it? The sacrifices that people in the past have made. You know, whether it's John Wilkes or whether it's William or Tyndall or whoever it is. You know, and we forget that far too easily. I think British people have got into their heads that somehow is written in stone and will always be there, and it won't always be there. It's not. It's a like daily sand. Battle. It's a daily battle. And you know, the freedom of the press was fought for long and hard in this country by some very brave people. And we forget that those lessons to our detriment, I think. I think it's a really sad thing. We need to be much more confident about who we are and what we believe in.
What's interesting is there's a lot with utilitarianism I disagree with, John Stuart Mill in particular, because I think better arguments can be made than he made. But the fact that he made the arguments was what's interesting. He wasn't actually arguing against the state. He was arguing against the censorious nature of society. Mm. And that's the kind of thing you're seeing there. When festivals are saying, oh, we're not going to host it.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the government doing it.
No, no.
You know, that's the society itself being, in some way,
totalitarian. Self-centering. Yes,
yeah. Exactly, well, we were one PR guy that was interested in representing us. This is going back just quite recently. Although we weren't looking for a PR, actually. But anyway, I won't bore you with that story. But he said, yeah, I really like the band, big fan, but I couldn't, in all honesty, work with them because of their politics. To be honest with you, I can't be bothered to have the debate, but I'd have to say, well, what politics are they? Because there aren't any.
No.
It's just to do with freedom of speech and freedom of choice
and the
right to question everything.
Yeah.
But let's
That's
assume...
not political.
Well, let's assume that for these people, it is political. Are you wrong? That's the question. Are you wrong to hold the opinions you hold? I don't think so.
No, I don't feel wrong.
No, exactly. That's the thing.
So that's good enough for me.
Exactly.
No opinion is wrong.
Well, some opinions are wrong.
Yes, they are. I mean, they're wrong. Holding that opinion.
You're allowed to hold that opinion.
Well,
you should be.
Yeah, exactly.
You should be allowed. I've had some people's opinions bloody abhorrent.
Of course.
But I do support their right to have them.
Yes.
And to view them.
Yeah, and it should be the actions that they're judged upon.
Yes. Yeah.
If, you know, you've done nothing wrong, I don't have a criminal record, you know, but I'm in trouble everywhere. It's like, why? I pay my taxes.
Yeah.
I follow the laws, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I don't think I'm unreasonable, but, you know, but like you say, if it's good enough for me, I'm the judge of my
life. Yeah, I am. Yes. And if it works for me, that's
exactly.
all right. We get on Twitter. You've got a large following. You have responsibilities. No, the only person I'm responsible for is myself.
Yeah.
But also...
That is it.
But they might have a point. You do have a large following. You do have responsibilities. And you're like, but I think I'm upholding them.
Yes.
I think I'm doing what's right.
And also speaking out, we've made some really interesting friends.
We have, yes.
And
backroom support.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see there's a company on there, the distributor is Plastic Head.
Yeah.
They have been really supportive. They are just like, you know, they've not only, we happen to share some similar views, but putting that aside, it was their idea to do the album.
They
said we, you know, because they're a massive merchandise company, and they do our merchandise, which we're just starting, and they said I don't think you understand the support you might get out there if you do an album, because we're talking to retailers and distributors, and they want to know where your product is, and we weren't going to do anything, and they because we're a bit tired, to be honest with you,
too busy drinking wine,
yeah, and they said we think you've got this wrong, we think there's a market.
Yeah.
And so, well, we'll wait and see. We'll soon find out, won't we?
Also, this whole process has been really educational in terms of the people that we've looked up to artists over the years.
Oh.
People like Elton John and Springsteen and some. I'm really pleased that David Bowie's gone, because I would have hated to see him in a mask.
Oh, can you imagine?
Or Sinatra, or...
You know, I get the feeling that Bowie probably was that kind of... had that sort of resisting temperament to him.
Yes.
I think you would have seen Bowie being like, no, I don't agree with him.
Yeah, I would have hoped so. I would hope so. Mm. I mean, when I saw Paul McCartney doing Get the Jab, It's Cool, wagging his finger at my face, I just thought, I'm never listening to you again, mate.
Yep.
Never.
Well, yeah, Rage Against the Machine.
Yeah,
could there be a bigger joke than them?
Really?
Yeah. We get slagged off a lot, obviously, and people are welcome to do that. Yeah. But they are talk about hypocrites personified. Yeah.
I'll do exactly what you tell me.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Well, so you didn't need to be a scientist or a epidemiologist or anything to smell something wrong. You just didn't. And for me, Fred went down the rabbit hole, so to speak, long before I did.
Yeah.
But once I heard the Build Back Better being trumpeted right across the continents within the same month, I just thought, this doesn't smell right.
Yeah. No.
All these people saying the same thing, pretty much, really? There's a phone call that's gone on from Austria somewhere. Well, you know,
it's interesting you bring up Austria, because there's an Austrian economist called Friedrich Hayek, who wrote a book called The Road to Serfdom. And in that, when I first started reading philosophy, I started there for some reason, right? And there was this one bit in that really resonated with me. It's like, look, propaganda's fine. Everyone has propaganda. You know, you get it from all angles in a society.
Yep.
And you get one person saying one thing, another person saying another thing. And that's what a democratic society is. The problem is when you see in totalitarian societies, the propaganda all goes in one direction.
Yeah.
And the only message you get is the one, and that is what you're speaking to right there.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when, like, that really clicked. Like years ago now, really clicked in my head. And like you say, with the vaccine, with the lockdowns, with all the censorship, as soon as you see it, there's definitely something wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Something wrong. There's always a counterpoint to whatever happens. There's always a counterpoint.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you should be able to say it.
It's a corny thing to say.
Exactly.
You should be able to say it. I mean, I've said it a million times, but you don't need to be a cordon bleu chef to know if the fish is off.
You don't need.
You just use your innate sense of... But then there's this madness that's gone on with the jab. There's one woman on Twitter a few months ago saying, I don't care if it is poison. I don't care if it kills me. I've done the right thing. I've taken one for the team.
How does that benefit anyone?
Yeah. I mean, there is no team.
There's no team. You are mental.
I feel bad for these people. Catatonic.
It's the same thing, isn't it? When you're sitting in, I know this is going over old ground, but you're sitting in a restaurant and someone sits down, takes their mask off. Then when they stand up to go to the toilet, they put it on.
Yeah.
So the logic being
is
that here there is no virus, and here there is.
But do you remember when they closed pubs at 10 o'clock?
Extraordinary.
Yeah, remember when they said, pubs with table service only?
Yeah.
Yes. It's like, right, so the pubs that don't have table service, come on.
I know. All the while, in number 10, Party down. Absolutely.
Just before we end, have you been following Andrew Bridgen?
Yes.
We've met Andrew a few times.
Yeah, we had him on the podcast. Great guy.
Yeah.
What did you think of his, what I considered, principal stand?
What I thought, I was really impressed by him.
Yes.
And it takes some bravery to stand up in that house and do what he did. It speaks to the moribund state of the Tory party that he's been thrown out.
Yes.
I think.
They've still got Hancock. Yeah,
exactly.
And they kick out Bridgen. Yeah. I mean, that just tells you everything you need to know.
The Tory party, they should have voted for Kemi, but how do you say her
name? Kemi Badenoch. Yeah.
Badenoch.
Yeah, absolutely. She was good.
She was way above the others in terms of a legitimate Tory leader, proper Tory leader, and black and intelligent and personable.
Yeah.
What they did get, I mean, Sunak's suits are too well tailored for a person.
Well, same with Mac Hancock, too well tailored for a human.
These are interesting times, aren't they? Because we are seeing some very strange people front and center.
Yeah.
Very strange.
And you can feel parts moving.
Yes, right? You can.
There's something like, machinery in the background is realigning itself.
Yeah. What do you think? Very quick question. What do you think about Musk and Twitter?
You know, I'm not sure what to make of it, right? Because I was banned from Twitter for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
And Musk brought me back.
Oh, right.
It was like being raised from the dead.
Yeah, right.
So in a way, he's kind of like digital Jesus to me.
Yeah,
I feel like Lazarus.
Digital Jesus. What a great
title. So I do very much approve of his position on free speech, because he did an interview the other day where he's like, look, I don't care if I lose money, I'm going to say
that. I saw that. I watched that. Yeah.
I like the intensity that you said it with, because that's how I feel. You know? So look, you know what? actually this is the bedrock. If you can't speak, you can't speak about injustice.
Yeah, exactly.
You can't object to any of this. Yeah. You know, I you can tell that he's thought this through, and he's kind of like an autistic tech bro.
Yeah.
You know, where he's a bit single focused. He's on the spectrum. Right? But as someone who's probably also on the spectrum, you know, I feel like I can. It speaks to me. I understand. You know, I like his sense of humor as well.
Yes.
So you know,
he's got a good sense of humor.
I think he does. Yeah. I feel very attuned to him, but he just hired the WEF woman be the CEO of Twitter. It's like,
can you understand that?
Yeah.
But then there's a whole narrative going on, isn't there, that she's infiltrated. Now, are we meant to...
I think that sounds like cope.
Are we meant to believe that?
I don't think that... I think they've got sufficient gatekeeping mechanisms to keep people who would be infiltrated.
Yes.
Out, you know? They're not stupid. They're rich.
Yeah.
They're
I think it's a weird appointment, unless she's not what she seems. I don't know.
One of the stories is that I think she worked for NBC, was it?
She
was highly responsible for bringing in a lot of money.
Yes. And that's clearly why Elon's
maybe that's the thinking behind this.
Does he need more money?
Well, I've offered to lend him a fiver till the weekend if he needed it, but
imagine being Musk, you think, I need some more money.
Well, in the case of Twitter was losing billions of dollars.
I do get that, but
he personally doesn't need it. No. Twitter as an institution.
I suppose you could argue that point. I just find the whole thing.
He was sounding like Lord Reith today. I read a Twitter from his, and he said, my ambition for Twitter is that you're entertained and elucidated.
Yeah,
which sounded like Lord Reith from the BBC back in the day. Yeah.
I mean, don't worry, I approve of the aim.
So do I. Well, given the way the mainstream media has behaved in the last 3 or 4 years, they're losing the plot.
Yeah. I mean, I tell you what, I don't know about you guys, because I mean, I've got comments here going, like Alex is like, huzzah, the brothers fair brass return. Enjoy reading your tweets, gents.
All right.
Like, you know, you're prolific on Twitter.
Okay. Yeah.
But I don't know about you, but I'm having a great time on Twitter.
Yes.
So the Twitter, I mean, the 77th come after us now and again, which is to be expected, and they're not the smartest. Yeah, tools in the box.
No.
And they come and go. They tend to come after. I notice they tend to sort of rise up when I've had a go at an MP. Right. So if I have a go at Sunak, or which I regularly do, or Khan, or your Khan's an MP, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So I've noticed that. But other than that, it's less of a petri dish.
Yeah, I'm finding a lot of support for, like, you know, our side of the arguments, you know. I don't even know how to classify, like, the space that we all operate in.
But whatever
we call this space, like, A, there are lots of really nice people in it. I've met loads of people who have effectively been kicked out of the mainstream. And, you know, so I've met them, like Lawrence Fox, Andrew Bridgen, loads of people, and they're all really nice people.
They're just
standing on their convictions.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I think this is the right thing to do.
Yes.
And they all pass the smell test, you know. Yes. I never feel that any of them are lying to me.
No.
And that's, you know, I've met a lot of people I felt are lying to me.
It reminds me back in the day of the Wogan interview with David Icke.
Do you remember that?
And actually Terry Wogan apologised many years later for being so dismissive. But what was interesting about that was the BBC mentality was that we know the truth and you're just a lunatic. But actually when you look at what David Icke's been saying for the last 30 years, he's called it completely.
I'm just waiting for Matt Hancock's master feel off. And so the final stage, the lizard man stage of David Icke is like, okay, he was right.
The other person is Assange. Absolutely.
There's no question. And like, it's, in fact, that's a great litmus test, actually. You know, did Julian Assange do anything wrong?
No.
And you know, if it's a decent person, they'll be like, no, of course not.
No.
If it's someone whose allegiance is suspect, it's not complex.
Well, also, this special relationship nonsense we have with America. Remember that, the lady was married to a diplomat who ran over that guy outside.
I remember that.
No, we tried to extradite her, they wouldn't.
The relationship is jump, and we say how high.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the relationship. Yeah.
Man, I hate to do this, but we've got one.
Sorry, guys.
I hate to do it because I'm loving the conversation.
I enjoy it.
We will get you back in again very soon.
Thank you.
In the meantime, where can people find you?
So Fred.com.
Mm-hmm.
At the Freds on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so Fred on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And we're generally
what's available. Going on the screen there, John?
Yeah. Look at that. I've said something. It's all gone wrong.
I was going to say, I don't know whether that's displaying correctly or not, but...
it's not. There you go.
That's us on Twitter.
They can also find us on the sofa.
That's us on Twitter. Yeah. And then we're at Facebook and also rightsofred.com.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yep. Yep.
Thanks again for joining
me. And Instagram. Right, so Fred Official. Sorry.
That's all right. Sorry.
I'll shut up now.
Thanks so much for joining me.
Pleasure. Thank you for having us. Thank you.
Anytime. We'll see you Monday, folks.